Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson, together with the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Brandon.
Okay. Ben and Nathan, I'm a URM, African-American Air Force veteran with an MBA and an MS in accounting, CPA, 3.82 undergraduate GPA, semicolon, could have been better, but I went to undergrad while working 50 hours weekly in the service. I am from a low-income inner-city Dallas family, and through hard work have been able to change my situation, but I am not done. My goal is to make it to the top 10, to make it to a top 10 law program. My GPA is a little low, but hoping a competitive LSAT score can offset this. Since I used my GI Bill for two grad programs, I'm currently out of education benefits and refuse to pay for law school. I'm currently a senior associate in corporate strategy for a Fortune 10 company where I have a demanding schedule. I took a diagnostic a year ago, scored a 140, and decided to purchase a Blueprint Prep account, semicolon. That was a mistake. I did not have time to remember their gimmick strategies with my work schedule. I came across the Demon podcast and purchased the Demon Live, semicolon. You really like these, don't you, Brandon? It has been unreal. The common sense approach and explanations resonate with me. With a 140 diagnostic, applying this cycle is not in the cards. I want to know how I should prepare to score a 170 plus on the LSAT so I can apply at the very earliest next cycle to start fall of 2024. I'm accustomed to hard work and grinding a day at a time while loving the process. In the military, we call that embracing the suck. I'm not a person that gets easily deterred by individual data points, such as one diagnostic, but I want to be practical. With that being said, is it a pipe dream to think that I can go from a 140 to a 170 plus? What do you think? Pipe dream?
I don't think it's a pipe dream at all. We've seen it happen. Forget everything you learned in Blueprint. Focus on really understanding one question at a time. I don't think it has to suck at all. I think that you should enjoy it if you're doing it, you know, ideally. I think that you're going to decide that it's a fun, easy game for you.
Yep. I mean, maybe you have to embrace the suck at first to get over that hump of getting used to something new. And I kind of like that idea of like embracing the shittiness and realizing that it's not necessarily as shitty as maybe you imagine it is, right? Like if you just accept that you're going to go through it, then you end up going through it as opposed to it becoming an excuse not to work or not to do things that will get you ultimately what you want, which is a high LSAT score and a great law school.
I think that you might not need something so high as a 170. African-Americans are still pretty seriously underrepresented in law schools, and a 165 and a 3.82 undergraduate GPA. And then all your other credentials, I mean, your softs are like really, really strong. Law schools love people who have been successful in the business world. They love veterans. You've got a lot of feathers in your cap. So, you know, don't let the 170 something goal interfere with you making it to 150 and 160 and 165. But yeah, come to class, ask questions, you know, do your best. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. You're going to miss some questions. And we're going to help you understand why you missed it so that you don't miss another version of that exact same question again, because the test is extremely repetitive.
Yeah.
It's extremely susceptible to hard work. If you're doing the right kind of hard work, and which, you know, I have no question about your work ethic. If you just do what we ask you to do for like an hour a day, I know you're going to make a ton of progress.
Yep. to point out the hard work is doing a question and then digging into that question and understanding it. It's not, oh, I did 100 questions today. Look at me. I'm such a hard worker. It's of the questions that you do, even if that's only 3 or 5 or 10, you get them and you can turn around and explain them to someone else like a boss.
The students who resist the test are less successful. So the students who just kind of do a question, they miss it, and then they review it and they go, oh, well, that's kind of bullshit. I mean, I see it was like a trap and, you know, this answer is better than that one. And I get it. And then they just immediately do another question. Those students don't improve as much. The students who improve are the ones who, when they miss a question, they immediately take it on themselves and go, okay, I picked a wrong answer. I also failed to pick a right answer. Now, let me review this thoroughly so that I can see how the right answer makes perfect sense and so that I can see how the wrong answer makes no sense. And I'm going to really clean that up. That was my bad, and I'm going to fix it. Not just, oh, this test is kind of bullshit. I'm going to do another one.
Yep. A variant of that is, oh, okay, I see why the correct answer is correct. But if the correct answer weren't here, right, I can see why the answer I chose would work. And it's like, not quite. You're trying to rationalize why that answer is good, but it's not good. It's bad.
No, it's wrong.
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's objectively wrong. The wrong answers are wrong for reasons. It's not, oh, that one was just better. No, it was better because it's good because it answers the question. Yours is not good at all. And you've got to understand both of those mistakes that you made. And if you just do that one day at a time, Brandon, one question at a time, I know that you'll make big progress.
Yep. If you can come to enjoy that, then it will no longer be suck. But if you can embrace that suck, all the power to you. You'll get a very high score. Brandon says, P.S. My wife is an anesthesiologist who has no interest in law, but loves the podcast due to your blunt, no bullshit approach to helping people. Cool.
Thanks, Brandon. Brandon sent this into LSAT Demon Daily, by the way. Tell your wife that she should also be listening to Thinking LSAT. There's much, much more on Thinking LSAT.
I would never recommend it to someone who's not interested in law, but okay.
Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.